Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. You may remember back in April when the Patterson administration announced they wanted to impose state taxes for online purchases, we conducted a rough poll on our comments page, asking you if you thought it was a good idea. So, let's take a quick look at what you said. First comment, absolutely, positively, no. Okay, next, absolutely not. Skim through a few more. No way, please no, we are already taxed to death. No more taxes. Well, our listeners seem to have spoken now. Some Washington lawmakers are stepping into the fray. It's not just any old lawmakers. Senator Charles Schumer and Representatives Anthony Weiner and Gregory Meeks are lining up against the Patterson administration to impose federal restrictions that could undercut the state's internet tax code. Could this issue come between the big powers in New York politics? To discuss the latest in the story is Joseph Henchman, his tax counsel at the Tax Foundation, a Washington, D.C.-based think tank. Joseph, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning, Andrea.
So just to set the record straight, what are the online entities that were affected by the taxes that passed in New York earlier this spring?
Well, the two big ones, of course, were Amazon and Overstock.com. What the bill does is it requires that these businesses and others which have advertisers, affiliates based in New York State, that once you have those, then they're required to collect taxes on New York State residents. New York estimated that the bill would bring $50 million in revenue, that is $50 million in new taxes imposed on New Yorkers.
Now, there's also a credit card company, a separate bill.
Mm-hmm.
And how does that one work?
Well, that one will impose a new tax on out-of-state banks that issue credit cards to in-state customers. West Virginia was the state that pioneered this. What they did is there are no banks that have customers or employees that have employees or property in West Virginia. So what they did in order to get revenue was that they imposed a tax on any bank that had credit card customers in the state. Because West Virginia's tax climate is so poor, they weren't able to convince banks to move employees or property into the state, but they still wanted to tax them anyways.
Now, there does seem to be, I mean, I remember when the internet commerce was starting, and there was a big concern among lawmakers that, as a matter of fact, I remember John McCain saying, we don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. We don't want to strangle the baby in the cradle. We want to keep this system, you know, sort of nurturing this system of internet commerce.
Exactly. I mean, people recognize that taxes can burden economic activity and they can stifle it. That's why there's been a moratorium on new internet taxes that's renewed annually by Congress.
But at this point, I mean, internet commerce is pretty well established. So, and the sort of, you know, idea of not getting taxed because you don't actually have a brick and mortar business. I mean, there's something sort of almost counter, you know, that seems against the principles of basic fairness there. Because, I mean, you know, for the purpose of the customer, do you care whether your local bookstore, if you buy something from them online, or do you care whether you buy from Amazon, you know, whether they actually have physical presences in your state seems almost irrelevant if you're going to buy from them online.
Well, that's certainly one concern, and it's a point of view that a lot of people bring up. But you also have to remember what taxes, why we have taxes. Taxes are used to pay for the services and for the government of where you are. So if a company is, you know, has property and employees in a state, they should be paying taxes to support that state's services, because that's the state where they use government services, not in other states where some of their products happen to make it.
Let's take some calls. 646-778-3729 is the phone number. 646-SPUD-RAY, if that is easier for you to remember. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is Joseph Henchman. He's a counsel at the Tax Foundation, a Washington-based think tank. We're talking about internet taxes, and let's get your thoughts on whether you think that New York is right to start looking at taxing internet businesses, particularly in these tough economic times, or whether you think that internet taxes are unfair and you would side with the senators and legislators in Washington who are hoping to create a federal law that would override some state tax provisions. Now, let's talk about what is at issue in Washington, because the bill that Senator Schumer and Congressman Weiner and Congressman Meeks are supporting wouldn't actually affect the Amazon tax necessarily, if I have that right.
Yeah, that's correct. What this bill would do, it would prevent states from imposing new taxes on new income taxes on companies that are don't have property or employees within the state. So, for instance, that out-of-state bank tax that New York and West Virginia have pushed. However, I mean, these are all examples of states reaching out beyond their borders to tax income that's already been to tax stuff that's already being taxed by other states. So, for instance, like this Amazon tax, Amazon already pays in, or these banks, these companies already pay taxes to the states where they're located. New York just wants a cut of that action, and it's going to turn around and bite it because other states are going to do the same thing in return.
In this economic climate, I mean, obviously a lot of states are doing things that they don't like to do, imposing new taxes. In a statement today, Congressman Wiener said that he was supporting the bill in Washington because he didn't want to create an unfavorable economic climate for new businesses in New York. However, states and city governments are increasingly desperate. Are we seeing more signs of this, and do you expect to see the Internet as sort of a place for more local governments to begin to look for revenue to prop them up?
Well, I don't know if I would say that states don't like imposing new taxes. I mean, they certainly push a lot of proposals to do that every now and then.
Really? You think states like to impose taxes?
They certainly do a lot of it. Certainly, like in the next week, the Tax Foundation is releasing its new estimate of state and local tax burdens. And, of course, right now, state, local, and federal taxes take up about 30% of the nation's income.
Yes, but, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, for example, in the New York State budget, there are some fixed expenses. There's Medicaid. There's education. You know, the sort of argument is that even to pay their sort of their mandated, the part of their budget that they have no choice, they have to start raising these taxes. You know, I've never heard any state government officials say, I'm pro-tax.
Certainly. That would be true. However, you bring up a very good point of, For all these services that people want and they say that they want, they should be willing to pay for. They shouldn't be reaching out and advocating that we tax companies out of state, businesses out of state, people out of state in order to pay for them. If these are services that people want, then they should be willing to pay for them themselves. And if people aren't willing, that's an indication that maybe not.
Let's take some more calls. The number is 646-778-3729, 646-SPUD-RAY. I'm wondering if people out there agree with Joseph Henchman that states should find tax revenue from buildings that exist physically within their own borders, or whether you think it's fair to tax out-of-state or internet companies that exist only online. 646-778-3729. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Let's go to Arlene in Brooklyn. Hi, Arlene. You're on WNYC.
Thank you, Andrea. My comment is, I own an appliance business in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. We sell high-end appliances, Viking ranges, Thermador refrigerators, et cetera. Pieces that cost $5,000, $6,000, many dollars. And I am not an internet salesperson. I have a brick-and-mortar store. And I lose innumerable sales to people who buy these appliances on the internet because they don't pay sales tax, which on high amounts like that is considerable. So I definitely would like to see the internet businesses charge customers the sales tax in the state where they live and where they're shipping the appliance.
Joseph Henchman, how about that argument that a local business owner is penalized by the current structure?
Well, the Tax Foundation is very big on tax neutrality, that like transactions should be taxed alike. The danger with that, though, is that if we start taxing internet companies based on where their customers are, but taxing small businessmen and businesswomen like the caller based on where they're located, that creates a disconnect. So if the small businesswoman who's on the call were to support taxing all of her customers based on where her customers were located, that would create an even playing field. And then the big problem here is that there's a compliance cost, that there's over 7,400 sales taxing jurisdictions in the United States, each with their different rates and bases, and it's tough keeping track of all of those things. And if we were to start requiring that for internet companies, then, and based on where their customers are, that would impose a burden on internet companies that would not be imposed on brick-and-mortar businesses like her.
Arlene, what about that?
Well, that's not so, because we don't ship across the country. We ship to New Jersey and New York, and we volunteered. We do pay New Jersey sales taxes. We signed a voluntary agreement with the state, and with New Jersey some years ago that we do collect New Jersey taxes, and we turn them in when we pay our taxes to New York State. So that's not so. And if an internet company even sells within New York, they don't collect the New York sales tax, but I have to, and then I lose sales because of it.
All right. Thank you for your call, Arlene. Let's go to Art in Milford, New Jersey. Hi, Art. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Taxation without representation was the single biggest irritation to the colonialists back in the 1700s and fueled a war with England. It strikes me as being rather interesting, if not ironic, that here we are almost 300 years later entertaining the same thing we went to war with England over.
Well,
I don't understand the reason.
I mean, the issue, I think, here for proponents of internet tax is that, you know, increasingly in the global marketplace, where a company it is doesn't mean as much to a consumer. So if you buy from a company that is within your state borders, without your state borders, and you're a customer in the state, the argument is that you should have to pay the same tax as the people whose businesses are located there.
Andrea, if I could, the caller does bring up a very good point in that there's a democratic accountability problem here. When you're taxing businesses who are not present in your state, they don't have the normal democratic recourse that business and individuals normally have. Like, you know, if in New York, if the governor raises a
to
tax
vote.
The governor raises a tax on you, you can argue against him, you can run against him, you can vote against him. But to an out-of-state company, like an out-of-state bank, they don't have that recourse.
Although they can, of course, give a lot of money to New York State officials to affect the course of legislation, which some would argue is even more powerful than a vote.
Well, yeah, but see, there's a fundamental premise here that's not being challenged, and that is the right of the government to take what belongs to us. You call it taxation, some people call it theft. I wouldn't mind it so much if government spent the money wisely. That's another conversation, but it's obvious they don't.
Well, when you say that, what are you talking about? I mean, because, you know, New York State officials argue that there are things they have to spend money on, like health care and education, and that's why they're in a bind.
No, they don't. All they have to do is spend what they have more wisely, and this whole issue wouldn't exist.
Do you think that it's an issue of fraud or corruption, or do you think it's just mismanagement?
No, it's mismanagement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks very much for your call. The number here, WNYC, is 646-778-3729. We're speaking with Joseph Henchman, Tax Counsel at the Tax Foundation, about some proposals in Washington to override states' ability to tax companies that sell online but don't exist in the state. Last year in Britain, Britons rejected a Blair proposal to lower taxes. Britons recognize that taxes are necessary. Is this something about American culture, Joseph Henchman, that Americans just don't like taxes? Are other cultures much more prone to accept taxes than in the U.S.?
Well, I think it ultimately comes down to what government services and what people want to spend money on. Sentiments like the caller before are quite common, that people view government's role as a limited one and that it should only be spending money on certain projects. And then there's a whole school of economic theory known as the public choice school that has talked about how government will kind of spend whatever money you give it and whatever level of spending happens to be, and that its tendency is to grow and grow and grow. I'm not really an expert on all those things. Our view is that the tax code should only be used to generate revenue for the programs that society wants, and it should do so in the most simple, neutral, and stable way possible.
Let's take one more caller, Avi from Brooklyn. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I was just wondering whether there's any tax ever that your guest and the tax counsel ever like, or whether they'd rather just starve government completely and eliminate all taxes if possible.
All right, that's a philosophical question on which to end this segment. Joseph Henchman, any taxes you like?
Well, if a tax is simple and neutral and taxes like economic transactions, I'd be in favor of it. A lot of states don't do that kind of thing. Instead, they're taking efforts to treat different companies differently by reaching out beyond their borders and taxing people who are not in the state. And that's what we're working against here in this case.
All right. Thanks very much, Joseph Henchman, tax counsel for the Tax Foundation, a Washington-based think tank. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Andrea.
I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. We'll be back with more discussion on the internet after this.